Goodbye 2020 and maybe good riddance. It's the final day of the year with the Dow coming off a record high and the U.S. set for a record debt raise this year. We'll break it down. And AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine is approved in the U.K., but that additional stimulus measure for $2,000 in direct payments, it stalled in the House in the U.S. And finally, the crypto space is closing the year with a bang, with Bitcoin at a record and more bad news regarding the Ripple's XRP token. Are the exchanges like Coinbase the next target? This is the Market Wake Up. I'm Jared Blickery, along with Emily McCormick and Javier David. Well, we're saying goodbye to 2020, and I think most people would agree this is one of the worst, most difficult years on record for such a wide variety of reasons. You know, we've been talking about the year in review, and it was a year of record volatility. The VIX has never been that high. And here we are at record highs, with the Dow at least coming off one yesterday. And we're going to get into the crypto space in a moment. But Javier, I know you have your eye on the bond market and what may be in store for 2021.
I think I've rung this bell several times on the show, but I wanted to ring it again because I think that there are some linkages here that people might be missing. The first is, on Wednesday we got notice that the government will more than likely issue new bonds somewhere in the order of like maybe over $1 trillion next year. And that is, a staggering sum. At some point, I think, I can't recall who it was who said this, but like at some point you're talking about real money, and we're talking about real money here. And yields have been creeping up very quietly. They're doing what yields normally do in a risk-on mode when stocks are rallying, which is, you know, people are shifting money out of treasuries and safety debt. But at the same time, we have a Fed that's committed to keeping rates low and is at least entertaining the idea of engineering higher inflation. But in the backdrop to all of this is Bitcoin. Bitcoin on Wednesday hit yet another record on the way to what appears to be, you know, we're in shouting distance of 30,000. And in a lot of ways, I feel like people are probably not necessarily connecting the dots to what's happening here. So what did we have this week? We had a stimulus deal that got passed. It's $900 billion at least. The Biden administration is coming in. It will more than likely ask for more money in terms of rescue for small businesses and consumers. The government spending more money than it can possibly pay back. And a widespread skepticism that all of this can be done without some sort of reckoning in the bond market. So yields are higher. You have a contingent of Bitcoin buyers who are very skeptical about fiat money, primarily because they feel that the government is running entirely too much in terms of deficits and deficit spending and red ink. And they have a valid argument. So I feel like the bond vigilantes that we used to talk about have now become, on some level, Bitcoin vigilantes. They're buying Bitcoin because they see all of this red ink and they're not comfortable with it. And whether you like Bitcoin or not, you have to at least recognize the merits of the argument of a government that is entrenched in a runaway spending mode with no real hope of reining it in at any time soon, and an administration which is more than likely going to keep its foot on the gas of fiscal policy. What does that mean? More debts, more spending, more reasons to sell the dollar, more reasons to buy alternatives, a la Bitcoin.
That's right, Javier. The Federal Reserve is certainly doing everything it can and quite a good job of making treasuries rather unappealing when we compare those to what you might get when we look at risk assets like equities, for example. And I think as we head into the final trading day of the year, of course, we still will have the dust settle by market close today, but we're really poised for some extraordinary returns here. I mean, the S&P 500 is pacing towards a rise of 15.5% or 17.6% when you include those reinvested dividends. And that's after we saw a near 29% gain in 2019. So really just continuing to chug ahead with these double digit percentage returns. And we saw the Dow, of course, hitting a record closing high yesterday. And I think all of this really speaks to this recovery that is really getting very strongly priced into the markets here. And what one strategist had told Yahoo Finance in an interview earlier this week, though, was that perhaps some of this appreciation has been pulled forward from 2021. We have Wall Street strategists as a whole quite bullish on the year ahead. But at the same time, what he'd said was that perhaps, or one thing to consider really, is that are we really in a better place than we were this time last year on the final day of 2019, before we had a COVID-19 pandemic, before we had a jobless rate of 6.7%. I mean, we had, heading into the pandemic, the jobless rate at a 50-year low of 3.5%. And to really see all of these factors at play here, the notion that it's going to be a multi-year economic recovery before we really have these scars fade, I think, is something that bears remembering here for these investors. So, of course, we do have some strategists who have also said that we may get a bit of a correction heading into the early innings of 2021, that might actually be healthy here given these strong gains that we've seen, especially now heading into the end of the year. And it is pretty crazy to think that 2020 happened, everything that transpired in the economy has still produced a stock market that is ending this year near record highs.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to think about. I'm just trying to remember. I can't remember what I was doing 1 year ago. I don't even remember what I was doing on New Year's Eve. Must have been really fun. Just shifting gears here, we got to talk about the COVID situation along with the stimulus. Kind of interesting how the end of the year here has played out. Of course, the vaccine news really sending the stock market to record highs here. That was the last catalyst. And we got some positive news yesterday on what's called the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine, AstraZeneca COVID vaccine. And that's cleared in the UK now. It's probably going to take a few more weeks in the US. And in the US, we could get the J&J one, Johnson & Johnson, in February. But we are hitting some snags in the delivery. And you had to think that this was going to happen. Operation Warp Speed wanted to get, I think, what was it, 20 million doses out by year end, and falling quite short of that. We just got a report yesterday that a shipment to Texas of the Moderna vaccine that has to be kept at those ultra, ultra low temperatures didn't quite make it. They were returned, they got replacements, but a few hiccups like that, nothing major. But you have to think, if there is a major snag, that's probably going to weigh on stocks if that happens. But for the most part, we're adding, you get five or six of these things out. Q1, Q2 is just going to see a massive, massive rollout. And it just reminds me of the government marshaling resources to do these things. It does create a lot of bureaucracy, and sometimes that can be bad, creates hurdles. But at the same time, I guess it also instills some degree of confidence. So, Emily, I know you're following all this and the stimulus. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, Jared, I think really is worth really driving in on this stimulus and the updates that we're getting here, because we actually saw a little bit of a pullback in equities, even amid the time-honored Santa Claus rally period here at the end of the year. And that had really been coming in the wake of this idea here that the Senate was not actually going to be passing a measure to increase those stimulus checks to most Americans to $2,000 from the $600 that had been written into that $900 billion stimulus bill. And while markets, of course, had been pricing in the stimulus, the $900 billion price tag was something that came in higher than even some economists had expected. Once we had the House of Representatives actually advance a measure to increase that some of the direct checks, that's something that markets had really latched onto. You know, this notion that some of the most vulnerable Americans really do need a little bit more help when it comes to bridging this gap here. And more specifically, what's going on in the Senate now is that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell really scuttled the chances and a couple of bids by Democratic lawmakers to try and quickly pass an increase to these stimulus payments. And what he did was say that the Senate will instead combine the stimulus payment increase with other measures on election integrity, as well as trying to roll back some liability protections for some of the biggest social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter, and of course, other tech companies that benefit from that, which is Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act. But of course, those are provisions that are not, of course, very popular among Democratic lawmakers, almost certainly won't get support. They've been called a poison pill by some. So this notion that we may actually get this increase, it does seem like it may actually die once we get this next Congress sworn in, of course. So I think that is going to be something to watch into the new year. But as of now, it does seem that that increase, at least in the near term, may not come to fruition.
One quick thing that I want to add to the stimulus discussion. I think this is largely the wages of waiting for the last moment to do something that, you know, realistically should have been done at the end of the summer. The force multiplier of a president, whom is very unpredictable and chaotic and sort of accustomed to upending the process and is really disruptive to that. Again, the benefit of time and hindsight being what it is, we would have had a deal, or we would have been, should have been able to increase the amount that people would have received and had the details ironed out. And instead, now we have this messy, messy process where everyone's sort of playing politics with it. And there are legitimately people's lives and livelihoods at stake here, and they deserve as much money as the government can realistically give them. But it has to be, the process has become very desultory and very politicized, and consumers are caught in the middle. The other thing I wanted to mention, I think realistically, is the part, Jared, you were talking earlier about the hiccups in the process of distributing the vaccine. And I think that tends to, in the last week or so, I've been thinking a lot about the potential black swans for 2021. And I don't think that we have a supply problem, because I think that we're adequately supplied here in the United States for a vaccine. Everyone is going to get one at some point, and you're going to see a lot of these headlines about things going wrong in the process. But by and large, we're going to be off and running by the spring. I think really the issue that we're confronting here with the vaccine is one of demand. I really firmly believe that there are pockets of skepticism, people that don't necessarily feel comfortable taking it, who's going to get it first. That whole process has become, I think, unduly politicized. I really legitimately think that we're going to have to confront the possibility that people aren't necessarily going to line up to take this the way that we think they are. And that would be, you know, devastating in terms of what markets and Wall Street are building into expectations for growth. So watch that. Watch how many people actually are willing to take it, because I think that, you know, people might be surprised at how many people are skeptics. And these are not anti-vaxxers. These are, in fact, everyday people. Some are pregnant women who don't necessarily feel, you know, there are risks to doing this. So watch that space, I think. You know, generally speaking, I think we may be a little bit overly optimistic about how many people are going to freely take this without question.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Javier. And I just read a report, this is a couple of days ago, earlier in the week, that EMTs, as first responders, were offered the vaccine. And surprisingly, most of them did not take it. And I think that could be an additional headwind in the coming year. So good point. And also on the stimulus front, it's really been politicized, of course, but it could be further, because we're heading into that Georgia runoff in next Tuesday. Wow, that's very close as well. And it's too bad you got to dangle these political carrots and It seems to me the Democrats want to force a vote straight up on the $2,000 checks and let the cards fall where they may. And that could look bad for the Republicans going in. So not surprising to see the moves that Mitch McConnell is making in the Senate. Well, we got just a couple of minutes here to tackle the crypto space again. Javier, you talked about Bitcoin before. I just want to talk about XRP because this is a developing story. I think we haven't seen the most of it. We haven't seen the worst of it yet. Ripple's XRP token is now down something like 65-70% over the last month, just getting hammered because it got sued by the SEC. Now there's an investor lawsuit against Coinbase, and they're alleging that Coinbase should have known that XRP was a security, as the SEC is alleging. And I think the next step could be maybe the SEC goes after Coinbase and some of the exchanges, also second-guessing them, saying that they should have known. So Coinbase is set. They've been talking about an IPO for some time. 2021 was maybe the year, and this could hurt those prospects.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's, you know, legitimate. I think we don't talk enough about all of the downsides to Bitcoin. I think that regulators, we, as much as we like to say that, like the central banks are eyeing this, and there are all of these avenues in which officials are trying to facilitate the growth of the market, they're also very attuned to the risks. So you have the Coinbase thing with the SEC. You have the IRS trying to figure out how they can tax a market that is incredibly lucrative. And I think that it may have been, well, this has been a really long year, so forgive me if I'm off on my timing here, but I think it may have been the beginning of 2020, or maybe it was late 2019, in which the IRS gave guidance about how they were going to tax Bitcoin. And they wanted investors to know that, yeah, this is an asset and we're going to come after it. And you're going to have to pay some money for trading this thing. So in a lot of ways, there are all of these regulatory headwinds that are arraying against the market. And it'll be interesting to see. I think some of that is going to come to a head in 2021.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And for the record, XRP is considered property by the U.S. For FinCEN, that's when it comes to money laundering purposes, it is a currency. Securities and Exchange Commission is calling it a security. And then you got the CFTC calling it a currency. So lots of regulators kind of fighting over this. Well, enough about the crypto space. We're also keeping focused on that stimulus measure in the House and the Senate, and as well, the latest developments on COVID. And finally, it is the last trading day of the year. Could see a little bit of selling here, but hey, we're going to keep the gains that we have. Over 40% for the NASDAQ. Not bad, too bad. Most people didn't participate fully. It was a very difficult year. All right, this is Make Market Wake Up. I'm Jared Blickery, along with Emily McCormick and Javier David. Have a great rest of the end of the year.